You know when you go to a movie theater and you're like, don't worry, the people will clean it up after, so you kick your popcorn everywhere and then you like throw your soda down and you spit on everything? No, you don't, because that's not how you treat a fucking movie theater.
Hello everybody, welcome to Sit Talk. This is Kendrick.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Joe.
And I'm Kevin.
Alrighty.
That was probably exciting week. The cleanest intro we've had, except for all I could hear from Kevin was up.
Yeah, but I think it was just a fine. Discord, yeah, thing.
Yeah.
It's like when you scream and it like we don't hear any of it and we're like, did Joe just cut out? And you're like, oh no, I just screamed the national anthem.
No one bothered to ask why, but it's just, I mean, I really didn't need to know.
Sometimes patriotism just takes over, you know? You never know when patriotism will strike.
Sometimes it hits you, and you just got to scream the national anthem.
Sometimes you have a Confederate flag on your bumper. Who knows?
Jesus.
Sometimes you got a big pair of testicles hanging off the back of your truck because you're not compensating for anything at all.
Put the pair of testicles hanging from the rearview mirror. That'll send a different signal.
Yeah, I think that's like a lot, like significantly more dangerous because they're usually metal. And if they're hanging from your window and like you stop too hard, it breaks your windshield. Yeah. But I don't know if that's probably what you deserve for hanging testicles from your rearview mirror.
It probably is.
Yeah.
I mean, so they might break off and bounce into the guy's window behind you. Who knows?
That's true.
They might land in your mouth. I don't know.
Ooh, it's a carjack defense mechanism. Just you get carjacked, you just yank those off the rear view mirror and you just smash them.
give them a grab and, you know, pull.
The old little tug and tumble.
Little tug and tumble.
The old grab and twist.
Was it the pinch and roll? The pinch and roll?
Yeah, the old pinch and roll.
Pinch and roll.
Trying to explain what pinch and roll is to somebody without testicles is kind of hard. If you don't really want to get explicit. You know, you're like, well, just pinch yourself and roll and see how it feels. And you're like, I don't understand. It doesn't work with this skin. And I'm like, there's only like three types of skin on the body that a pinch and roll works with. And one of them doesn't exist on every human body. And the other ones just hurt when you pinch them. Mm-hmm. For all the people out there who don't know what a pinch and roll is.
It doesn't get much better than that start.
So... where do you go from pinch and roll?
So I have acquired the implements to create my own dice. I have some molds, I have some flaked mica, I have like a kit, I have some resin. I just need to find time to commit to it.
That's
are
so
you gonna
funny.
Do chocolate first or
I mean that's a good idea though. Chocolate.
It's so
dice.
Funny you said that. We just picked up Discovery Plus.
I'm really interested to hear why that's relevant right now.
Because the first thing we started watching was How It's Made.
Oh, cool.
And I knew that show's like, it's like crack cocaine. Yeah. Like, you could just sit there and watch how things are made. And they have, like, they have dyes and like, these giant pieces of machinery that create stuff. And that is, like, perfect in my mind. I was thinking of you, like, putting resin into a dye to melt it to make a dye. Like, brilliant.
I feel like watching it made is like the best visual ASMR for people who don't realize they want to watch ASMR but never have. Like, if you sat down and you watch it made and you like maybe have looped back a few times over the same piece of machinery just like doing the repetitive pattern and making interesting sounds, you should go listen to ASMR because you will like it.
Could you imagine how stressful that show would be if it was just the machines not working entirely constantly?
Oh my god!
Oh god!
No.
An anti-AMSR or ASMR.
ASMR. Just like watching it and like none of the pieces come out right, or like the ones I always like are the chain making machines. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
So, you can look it up. If I remember, I'll post this because this is very related. The way chain is made in a factory, obviously when you make it by hand, you forge the links and then blah, 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 it's all cool. When it's by hand, basically there's a rod of the diameter of the chain being fed into the machine, and then it heats it, if it's forged, but whatever, so it bends it around and then tack welds it with a little like spot welder dealy-doo. But what it does is there's these complicated little fingers that flip the chain piece and then wrap the piece through the other one and then click it and then it like kicks over. And so it's really satisfying to watch because like ka-chick, it's like, yeah, nice. Sweet. And just imagine that just spewing metal out of the side and welding shit to itself and like, no! It's no! Just,
the chains are all disconnected, malformed, and twisted. And you're like, no, please stop! That was all of these are the weakest link.
That was simultaneously the most amazing and terrifying part of working in the packing factory at Coors was like, when the machines are going full bore, you watch them and you're like, oh my god, like these things are just tearing up these they're like, they're not doing anything wrong, they're tearing up the process, they're like packaging these things and gluing them together and doing all this stuff like capping bottles. It's like, it's amazing to watch.
How often did then you hum see Powerhouse?
Some of the terrible accidents that happen where like you watch a line like just have one malfunction and then just cans start shooting at the wall and you're like, if anybody was standing there, they'd be dead. Like,
oh yeah,
an entire room filled with beer. That's just because like, and there's just glass in the beer. So as you can't see where the glass is, you just have to sweep it all to the drain and then pick up the glass. But it's just, you're right. You're very much right.
That sounds like a terrible time.
I kind of want to see how it's made. To where they show you how they make the machines in How It's Made.
You say like, you want to watch someone edit How It's Made, and I was like, Kevin, that's going to be really boring.
That's a one episode thing.
Didn't Aaron used to work at a place that made factory machines?
Not quite. He worked with lines like that, but they would make like custom. He would make like custom blueprints and things for like torque machines. So like he would have like custom caps for torque machines and custom fittings and things like that for machines that like turned bottles on. So he was like tertiary.
Interesting.
Should we get Aaron on as a guest to talk about his engineering?
I mean, I don't know, the only thing I have that's close to that part of the conversation was when I worked at ConAgra.
Oh man, I remember you talking about that.
Oh my
dumping
god.
Dumping flour into those big bins all day.
Yeah, that was one of the, I think, the worst but best paying job I'd ever had at that point. That was like
worst
the last
paying
thing
or worst job, but
it was
the
worst
the
job, but it was the most I was being paid as a temp.
Yeah.
It was like $12 an hour.
Do you want to talk about that job a little bit? Because I don't know if you've actually talked about it on the podcast.
Oh, I think he was working with me. Job. And so, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I worked at the ConAgra flour mill when I moved out to Aurora. It was like one of the, I worked for a temp agency, which let me tell you, if I have to do that ever again, I'll just end it all. I can't
Fair.
Work for a temp agency ever again. It was the worst experience, but I had a really good one at first, and they got me a bunch of cool, you know, just like general labor jobs. And then they got me the ConAgra job, and basically at the flour mill, you go in, you're surrounded by incredibly loud, dangerous machinery, and the air itself is just saturated with flour. So you have to have all your safety equipment on at all times. You got to have a face mask, an N95 at least, earplugs, a hard hat, and goggles.
It's like working in a like factory that does insulation, like the like particleized stuff in the air can just murder you over time if you don't.
Oh yeah, PPE. Yeah. Because if you breathe that in for any amount of given time, you'll die. Mm-hmm. There's almost no coming back from that.
You're dead. Yeah.
So
dead.
They also suggested like, don't smoke, because if you did happen to inhale it, there's a slight chance that it might heat up. Not like you're not going to spontaneously combust, but it could actually somewhat overheat and ignite any of the flour that you'd inhaled. So you just get catastrophic burns inside of you, which is a
there's
bad
like
place
this
to
whole
have those.
Science thing about, you know, if you take coffee creamer and you like the, not the liquid, but the powder, put it in your hand and hold like a lighter out and blow, it'll ignite. Because the particulates are so fine if you can particulate something, that's not a word, but if you can make something small enough, it'll catch on fire regardless of what it is, or will explode regardless of what it is because of the way the energy passes through the molecules when they're heated. And that shit is incredibly dangerous for, like, mills and all the things that Joe's talking about right
that's
now.
That's where a lot of grain silos, when they explode. That's why grain silo explosions are a thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Get it. Yeah. Get it.
So my job while I was there, I go into the factory floor, climbed up a ladder. So I was up on this ledge, like a full story up. And I'm standing over a thresher with, like, that's got, like, a dumping bin over it and, like, this thin grate, right? Like chicken wire, basically. And this dude in a forklift would drive over. He'd lift a pallet up and drop it off on my station, and it would have anywhere from 50 to 100 bags of, like, 50-pound flour bags. And then I had a knife that they gave me, like a little, you know, retractable, like a razor, right? I would pick up the bag.
Like a box cutter.
Box cutter. Yeah. Could not think of it for the life of me.
So Exacto knife.
Yeah, not that. Different than that. Yes, but no. Not even close. But so
yeah,
I grabbed
one of those,
the bag,
but literally nothing like what you
said.
Well,
literally nothing at all. Not even close. Couldn't be more wrong, but yeah. So then I'd grab the bag, I'd turn around, I'd set it on the thresher, I'd unzip it with the knife, and dump all the flour into it. I did that from 2 p.m. to 2 a.m. with a one-hour lunch break.
Wait, what was the time?
I did that for, like, 4 weeks.
Yeah, and then they decided that's the limit. Anyone who does it more than 4 weeks is either, like, incapable of higher-level thought or going to kill themselves.
Well,
those 12-hour shift overnight jobs, fuck with your mind.
Oh, yeah. Now, so the worst part of that was, like, I had a car. I had a Subaru that my dad let me use. And the decision to leave that job was actually made for me because it broke down while I was driving home. And I was trying to call my brother, who I was living with at the time, but they didn't keep his phone. He and his wife didn't keep my sister-in-law. They didn't keep the phone with them because they had a newborn that was sleeping in the room with them. So they didn't want to risk waking her up. So his phone was, like, out in the living room. So I couldn't get a hold of him. I had to call Laura while she was living in Tamarack. She came down and picked me up at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was just like, you're just covered with fucking flour. It stinks, dude. Fucking stinks. Like, if you just really smell, like, when you do baking, that's, like, the most interaction with flour you have, right? When it's just there everywhere, it smells so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the weird thing also. When I was dumping it in the thresher, they gave me, it didn't matter what the flour was. I have no idea what they were actually doing with it. Because it was white flour, brown flour, all went down that same thresher. Didn't matter the quality or style.
Flour
is
Soylent Green is people, Joe.
Yeah, basically.
True.
But, so my car broke down. Catastrophic failure. The engine just, like, exploded. And so, you know, I'm trying to look at how I'm going to travel to this job. And my brother can't take me. He's just, like, we tried it a couple of times and it just didn't work. So I'm like, okay, we're in Denver, right? We're in Aurora. There's a transit system. So I'm looking at stuff. The way that the bus schedule lined out, I was in Aurora. The job was in Commerce City. The way that the schedule ended up laying out, it would have allowed me, if I didn't sleep on the bus, I would have had 1 hour between getting home from work and then leaving for work.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
And I'm just
our
like...
Our buses are not great.
No. It was like, because I had to take one bus.
That means...
To another bus. To another bus.
It's like 5 hours of bus rides either way.
Yeah. And I'm just like, this is untenable. Like, I started to do it once, and they're like, you'd have to sleep on the bus. And I'm like, I'm not sleeping on a bus in Aurora? Are you joking?
Yeah, to and from work.
Yes. Yeah. Right. I was like, one, I'm not going to wake up at my stop. And two, someone's going to murder me.
Also, like, it's a temp job.
Right? Well, so I called the temp and I was like, hey guys, like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Like, I explained the situation and they're like, well, you put us in a really bad spot because we worked really hard to get you into that position, so you're actually kind of fucking us over. And I'm like, what? Like, and she's okay, like, bye. Well, you can't work here anymore. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I was just out of a job.
That was always an option.
So what was your first worst job, Kyle?
Oh,
along,
man.
Along par.
I don't know. I've never had a job that I've had long enough to start hating or that was bad enough that I hated from the beginning. That's weird, but it's true. Like, I worked at a theater most of my high school and some of my college. Oh, you know what it was? I've talked about this before. It was, I don't know. That was actually kind of a nice job too, but the people and some of the rooms were disgusting. I actually was a maid, I guess I'll say, a maid at the Water Wheel Inn in Gunnison. Like, I cleaned rooms and did that stuff for about a semester and a half. And then they just stopped calling me back. Like, they just, like, they paid me and then they were like, you don't have any shifts anymore. Or, like, I called and I was like, do I have any shifts? They're like, nope. I was like, all right, I guess that's fine.
I guess I don't work here anymore.
But there were some people that, like, were there for, like, an archaeological dig and they were there for, like, a long period of time. I know I've talked about this in the podcast before, or at least with you guys. I think it kept my, like, hatred of bad hygiene going until my adulthood. Because I was like, you know, maybe I should cut people some slack. But these people were disgusting. Like, I don't know how you could live in a room that was as disgusting as these rooms. Like, they would come back and they'd be covered in dirt, but they would just, like, put their shit... I don't know. There was, like, no attempt to even, like, make it clean at all. Like, you know when you go to a movie theater and you're like, don't worry, the people will clean it up after, so you kick your popcorn everywhere and then you like throw your soda down and you spit on everything? No, you don't, because that's not how you treat a fucking movie theater.
I don't do that.
There's people that have done that.
I spit in their faces on my way out too.
Yeah. you spit tobacco into a cup and then you kick the cup over after you're done, because you know why would you take the cup full of your fucking spit out of the theater with you?
No, no, I spit the tobacco directly into the usher's eyes.
That's good. That's good.
I tell them to open their mouths.
There's nothing more disgusting than accidentally knocking over a cup full of dip spit. And then you basically, like, are just like, huh, huh. And, like, the smell, it's like a stink bomb. Okay, anyway, that's what it was. It was working at that water wheel.
That sounds terrible, man.
I liked when it wasn't gross. Like, I didn't mind cleaning up bathrooms, like, and stuff like that. That's okay. But, like, when someone left, like, a big piece of shit in the toilet and then decided not to flush it or clogged it and then kept using it, I'm like, who are you? And when can I kill you? When can I remove you from the gene pool?
When can you be dead?
That would definitely be, like an interesting, like, faux hero story. Someone who just gets so pissed off at people being disgusting, they just start killing them all. That's a comic book idea. How about you, Kev? Yeah.
Mine?
Yeah.
My first job, it would probably be the worst job, too, but I was a stock boy at the grocery store in South Fork.
Mm.
And
the grocery store.
The only grocery store.
The.
Yep.
Yeah. And it wasn't so terrible. I was so young, though. I think I started at, like, 12 or 13, and I, like, rode my bike to work every day because it was, like, a mile away, maybe.
That's pretty young to start a job, too.
It got so frustrating trying to stock shelves and, like, refront stuff. And you have these, like, because this town is full of, like, a bunch of old Texans ladies. And they'd sit there in the aisle and just, they'd pick up a can or something and look at it. Just, like, stare at it. And then they'd put it back and not buy it. And they'd move on. And you're like, God damn it. And then they'd move along to the next spot and they'd pick up a can to look at it and just put it right back. And you're just like, God damn it.
At least they put it back.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of carrying it around the store and, like, putting it back somewhere else.
No, I mean, that wasn't actually the biggest problem. It was mostly just these old ladies browsing, I guess. And you're trying to restock stuff and they're just, I don't know. It's just really annoying.
It's your damn way.
It's the mentality of the, like, there's a boy for that, you know. You don't. I don't have to move this or put it away. No, there's a person whose job that is.
It was nothing that terrible, but when you're like 15 years old and you're just like, God, I just want to be on break right now. I hate this so much. But also, I mean, it was a first job. And then I rode my bike there every day. And so I made a lot of money.
Yeah, no
Can't
kidding.
Complain.
Nice.
Kendrick, what do you got?
I haven't gotten any of those, really. Probably the worst. I haven't done a lot of real jobs. I kind of did a lot of BS jobs. I worked at probably like real for pay job was working IT at Western, where people would bring in their laptops and they'd be broken. And for some reason, it was our obligation to fix them, even though they weren't like school-owned laptops. It was like their personal laptop. And so it was like a courtesy deal where we would like fix them. And it was great educational experience. I'm sure Kevin can attest. I learned a lot about troubleshooting all kinds of crazy shit.
Totally.
How much like porn can be downloaded to destroy a laptop.
Like, people don't take care of laptops if you're not dusting them all the time and stuff, so I imagine they're really gross.
So the dusting is part of it. The worst part was, like, because some people smoke around things, and okay, fine, okay, it's got some tobacco smell or whatever. Like, okay, it's kind of gross, but you can kind of get over it. We had a laptop came in that smelled so strongly of cheese that we were pretty sure it was like a prank someone was playing on us, because it smelled of cheese. Like, I words cannot express this. Like, someone opened a can of Cheese Whiz with a hammer and aimed it at this thing and closed it.
When it starts turning on and heating real really high, it smells like a Philly cheesesteak.
And not in a good way.
The worst one I saw was the beet soup lady.
And beet soup one.
I might have mentioned this on the podcast, but
I think it's come up.
Yeah. I remember the beet soup. I remember she had this.
I
was there for that.
Tip top highest money you could put into a MacBook possible. And she was like, she was a environmental studies student. I mean, she had like dreadlocks. That's
yep.
I can picture who you're talking about. I remember her.
Probably,
I cannot remember her name, though.
But she had a Tupperware of beet soup, like dark, deep red soup. And the Tupperware broke open in her backpack and soaked the MacBook. Just soaked it. Like, and somehow, to his credit, and Eli will probably never listen to this, but Eli took that thing apart, cleaned it, and somehow got that thing running again.
That dude is
I don't
a wizard.
Know.
It sounds
yeah,
like
he,
yeah.
He fixed
Still
it.
Don't know how he did that.
Yeah, it was nuts. But she was
I
so
feel like,
stoked.
I feel like Eli is the only person on the planet who would have the amount of patience and desire to look at that, and he's like, I'm going to fix that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm going to fix that. I'm going to do that.
Well, on that note, you guys have heard all of our most terrible jobs, so why don't you tell us what yours were if you're listening to this podcast.
Drop them in the comments.
Yeah. Like, comment, and subscribe.
Yeah, and don't spill beet soup on stuff. It stains everything.
It stains your soul.
It's super red.
Spill borscht instead.
It's like blood.
When they do the autopsy on that lady, they're like, what the hell's going on? And, like, all of her organs are, like, purple. And all right, thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.